Matthew chapter 11 from verse 28. Some familiar verses. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Thanks, Brendo. Short Bible reading, eh? Hey, good to see you at church this morning. Trust you had a great weekend. Some of the guys from our church, we ran the Father and Kids Camp on Friday night, the first one of those, and we've got another one after the school holidays. So all up, there's about 400 people coming to those camps, and really good. I'm not doing anything anymore. Like, the guys from this church are running that. I just said to Janelle Friday afternoon, what am I doing? So she pretty much organized the Father and Kids Camp, so kudos to her, really good. But just a great way to connect with our community for me, particularly to get to know some dads in our community. So thanks heaps for praying for that. It was the only good thing that happened on Friday night, because Hawthorn lost when they should have won. But God was good, because the Swans got thrashed yesterday. So there's just a bit of an evening up in the sort of forces of the universe. How about we pray, and then we'll jump into our passage. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you're a great and good and wondrous God. And Father God, we come to you this morning as we finish in this series being moved by God and thinking about our commitment to you and your Son Jesus and to the life of this church. And so, Father, through your word, through the words of Jesus, through your spirit, I pray that we'll just have a sense of you speaking to us this morning, that we may be reflective on how we're living our lives, both individually and corporately. And I do pray that we'll just be called to a greater sense of discipleship and longing to love and serve you. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So today we do wrap up our series in terms of this being moved by God, but really what I'm saying to you, all we've done is actually cross the starting line. So in a sense, we've been wrestling over this for the last 2 years as a leadership team. We believe that God has actually given us a little bit of a picture or a glimpse of our future. We've been communicating that with you over the last 6 or 7 weeks. But now, once the sermon series finishes, that's not as if we just put that in the background somewhere. In a sense, we have to begin to pull all these ideas and thoughts and dreams together. One of the constant, queries or questions, which is fair enough, is that people actually come to me and ask me, well, actually, Andrew, are we going to be able to do all of this? Or are you going to be able to do all this? And the answer is yes, as long as we actually pull together and actually rise together and actually follow Jesus with a greater sense of passion together. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is about your commitment to Jesus and to his body and to his mission. Now, I know when I talk about commitment that there's a rolling of the eyes. I know there's also a kind of a defensive kind of stance that we can have. Because in a sense, I'm like you. I hear people about talking about a greater level of commitment, but my life is already busy. And you may be thinking, you know, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I find it hard to actually cope with all the demands that are upon me already. My work demands, my family demands, trying to keep my marriage together, looking after my kids. I've got extended family who need me. I've got friends who I have to look after. And here is this guy from Tasmania calling us, in a sense, to a greater level of commitment. If you're into running, it can kind of be the image that we're sitting at the bottom of a hill and I say, well, here's the top of the hill. Let's run this together. And some of you are thinking, well, you know, Andrew, I'm not into running at all. I'm a bit tired, I'm a bit exhausted. I have nothing left to give. I just don't feel that I can be a part of this kind of future of the church together. But what I want to say to you this morning is that, very clearly, is that this is not another level of busyness. I'm not trying to add sort of more sort of demands upon your already busy schedule. In some ways, maybe I'm calling you to a more simple way of life. But it is a way of life with Jesus right at the center. The passage that we're looking at today is probably one of the most famous passages, famous words that Jesus actually spoke to us. And as I've been preparing this talk, I've kind of trembled before this passage, because if we really understand what Jesus is saying to us here, we'll understand the heart of what discipleship is all about, and also the heart of what this Move by God series is all about. So come with me, we'll work our way through this passage. I'll read it a number of times. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know about you, but often in my life I can feel weary, I can feel tired, I can feel burdened. As I think about my present and my future, I can kind of feel stressed out about that. But Jesus says that doesn't need to be the way that we live our lives. Jesus in this passage talks to us about a terrible burden that all of us experience at some level, but also he talks to us about a great rest. So firstly, a terrible burden. There are two things that Jesus highlights in this passage. Firstly, that there is a burden and that there is also a weariness that goes along with that burden. Now, the burden that Jesus is talking about in this passage is quite specific. He's talking about the burden of religion. In Matthew chapter 23, it says that the teachers of the law tie heavy burdens and load them and put them on our shoulders, but they cannot practice what they preach. And Peter, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15, he's talking about religion and the law and the religious leaders. And he says, they put all these demands upon your life, but these demands actually crush you. But then he goes on to say, but we preach grace. So Jesus is talking about a burden, which is religion, which is obedience to the law. So in Jesus' day, there were teachers of the law, Pharisees, who would have taught that if you obeyed this and obeyed this and obeyed this and did this and did this and did this, then maybe, just maybe, you would be in a right relationship with God. And religion, which was meant to actually be life-giving and transforming, was actually crushing, and it was soul-destroying. And in some ways, we can come to a movement like this, being moved by God, and it can be like that. It can be just a bunch of external rules, a bunch of things that I'm calling you to, in a sense, just making you more and more busy, and it can feel like a burden. At the end of my talk today, I'm going to call us to a new commitment to one church service. To one life group, to one ministry, to one mission initiative, and I'm going to call you to be a generous people. But unless Jesus is right at the center of that, that will just be like this outer layer. It will be another level of busyness that won't give you life. In fact, it will actually crush you. And can I say very clearly, like as a senior pastor of this church, that is not what we want from you for you here. We want good for you. We want life for you. We want transformation for you. We don't want you to just become more and more busy, but we want you to experience Jesus in a greater way. So there's a burden, and the burden is of an empty shell of religion, of just going through the motions of being obedient on the outside, attending this church service, attending a life group, being involved in a ministry. And if Jesus, again, if grace is not at the heart of that, that will destroy you. Jesus also talks about a weariness in this passage. A weariness that comes from not actually kind of measuring up to who you think you should be. A weariness that comes from not actually living the life that you think you should be living. I'm 45 now, and I can remember when I was 21, I looked at the world and I looked at life and the meaning of life, and I thought I was going to live this great, spectacular, successful, victorious life. I thought I was going to change the world. I thought I was going to change Australia. But now I'm 45, and it feels in some way that life in the world has defeated me. There is a sense that I can look over my life and there are things that I can celebrate. But even like there are things that I feel that I don't quite measure up to, that I haven't succeeded in, that in a sense there's parts of me that kind of feel like I don't measure up and that I feel like a failure. I don't know if you can remember your at school, your school reports. There was a constant little phrase in all of my school reports, and the phrase went, "Andrew could do better." You know, Andrew could do better if he actually just turned up to class once in a while. Andrew could do better if he actually did some homework. Andrew could do better if he didn't talk so much in class. Andrew could do better. But you know, I look at my life and I think that phrase is a haunting phrase because it describes so much of my life. Andrew could have been a better husband. Andrew could have been a better father. Andrew could have been a better leader. I mean, forget about God for a moment and the expectations that, in a sense, He places upon your life. You're struggling, and I'm struggling, even to live up to our own expectations, to the expectations of our culture. Perhaps even though we're 45, to the expectations of our mum and dad. And there's this deep sense of weariness and tiredness that comes from an unfulfilled life. And that's hard for us to think about, isn't it? It's challenging for us because in the northern suburbs of Sydney, we like to try and think that we're these self-made people, that we're successful people, that if we work hard enough and if we try hard enough, then we're going to achieve all of our goals and we're going to achieve all of our dreams. But Jesus says that is not the case. Jesus uses this image of a yoke, and you don't see too many yokes in Sydney, do you? But we know what the image looks like, of a yoke being tied around an ox or a horse, and it was attached to a plow, and that is what a farmer would use to plow his field. And Jesus looks at people and he says, it's like you have this heavy burden of expectation upon you. He says you are yoked to something. You're either yoked to your own expectations and you're failing there, or you're yoked to religion and to God and you see yourself as a failure there. And what is the way out of this weariness? What is the way actually forward? How do we actually discern what it is that we're yoked to? Stephen Covey, in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, he asks us the question. He says, well, what is the true north of your life? What is the thing that your mind will easily and quickly just turn to? What is it that your heart delights in? What is it in the sense that you worship? What is it that when you have a quiet moment, you easily begin to daydream about? What is the good life for you? Jesus says when you're in those moments, when you're in that place, unless Jesus himself is the object of your worship, unless Jesus is actually your true north, unless you actually spend some time in your week thinking and dreaming and worshiping and loving Jesus and thinking how great and wonderful and magnificent he is, unless you're doing that, Jesus says you're yoked to something, and that yoke is a burden and it's destroying you and it is killing you. Some of you are yoked to your marriage. You've placed your marriage before God, and that actually sounds a good thing, doesn't it? Because so many marriages are actually falling apart. But to place your marriage as your highest importance means to actually place a burden on your partner that they cannot fulfill. They're always, in some sense, going to be a disappointment to you. They're never going to be able to meet the longings of your heart. As some of you, your yoke is actually your family, your children. The most important thing to you in your life is your kids and their happiness. But because of that, you're smothering them. In a sense, you're holding them so tight that they'll either do two things. They'll run away from you eventually, or you'll actually destroy them and you'll smother them and they'll become dependent upon you. Some of you are actually yoked to your work. The most important thing to you is your career and your success and your finances. And you're willing to actually sacrifice the very people that you love the most in your life. Your husband or your wife and your children. You'll sacrifice that for your career because you are yoked to that. For me, and this has been true of me at times, I've been yoked to the church. I've been yoked to ministry, and I've sought to see the church and ministry as my greatest importance, as the thing that I think about the most. And even church and ministry, even though it's a good thing, it will destroy you and kill you if you place it as of first importance. Jesus says there is a burden upon us and there is a weariness to us if we are yoked to anything or anyone other than him. Do you get that? That's challenging, isn't it? So how do we get rid of this weariness? How do we put aside the burden of modern life? How do we actually find the rest that Jesus promises for us in this passage? Well, let's read these verses again. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says two very important things in this passage. Firstly, he says, you need to come to me. If you're understanding anything from your Bible, you'll understand what an outstanding or an amazing or life-shattering statement that is. If you're a scholar of the Old Testament, it would seem arrogant that Jesus could make this statement. In Jeremiah chapter 6, the prophet Jeremiah says this, "The Lord God Yahweh says, follow the path I give you, and I will give you rest for your souls." And here Jesus is claiming to be the fulfillment of that verse. Jesus is actually claiming to be the Lord God Yahweh. He says, you want to find rest for your soul? Come to me. Come and know me. Not just as a one-off event somewhere where you gave your life to Christ in the past, but as a daily activity of coming and knowing Jesus, as making him the true north of your life. Look at Jesus. Look at his beauty. Look at his courage. Look at his strength. Look at his wisdom. Look at his life and look at his death and look at his resurrection. Come to Jesus and make him your true north. Make him the one that you are the most excited about. Make him the one that you love the most. Make him the one that is the object of your worship. And how do you do that? Well, if you go back in our passage to chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says this. He says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to little children." There's something about our relationship with Jesus that he wants us to become like little children. You know, it's not that we throw our minds out the door. It's not that we become uncritical or unthinking. It's not that theology doesn't matter. You know, it's important to know what you believe about God. It's important to believe in the divinity of Christ and of his death and resurrection. These things are important. But do you know what is more important? Do you know what is more important than your head? It's your heart. It's your emotions. It's your passion. It's your longing. You and I know that a relationship isn't just about information. A relationship with anyone, let alone Jesus and God, it's more about your heart and your passions and your worship. And Jesus says, when it comes to that, I want you to come to me like dependent, humble little children. There's something about little kids, they're just beautiful, aren't they? They just freely and easily acknowledge, even without any self kind of thought, that they've kind of got a self-forgetfulness, their dependency on mum and dad. The favourite and the most used word in our household is mum. And after that doesn't work for two or three times, the next one is dad. You know, I'm the kind of backup to that. But I can remember when my middle daughter, Jessica, we were at the beach one day and she was in this little rip and she was kind of safe, but she was a little bit scared. And all of a sudden she just calls out, "Dad," and she longs and she throws her hands out to me and she just knows that I'm going to grab her hand and I'm going to pull her out of that rip. "Dad, can you open the past the source? Dad, can you actually pick me up or take me here? Dad, can we do this? Dad, how do we fix that?" I don't know, ask your mum. But this sort of humble self-forgetfulness, this dependency, this easiness, like little Abby will actually just run into our bed in the morning and jump on our bed. And she just knows that she's got to be welcomed, she's got to be loved by her mum. But friends, this is hard for us, isn't it, again? Because again, here we are in the northern suburbs of Sydney, and most of us are self-made people. Most of us are doing quite well at life. Most of us have been taught by the day, actually, we've sucked breath, that if we work hard enough, that if we try hard enough, that we've got the capacity to actually make it in life. But that's simply not true. Karl Marx said, Christianity is the crutch for the masses. He meant it as a kind of an insult, that Christianity is for the weak. That if you can't cope, that if you're not strong enough, if you don't have enough willpower, if you can't make it through life, then you'll need religion or you'll need God. And he thought it was an insult, but he's absolutely right. Christianity is for the humble. Christianity is for the broken. Christianity is for the person who sees themselves in life and just reaches out desperately for a Saviour. "Jesus, I need your wisdom because I'm not very wise. Jesus, I need your love because I'm not very loving. Jesus, I need your strength to forgive because I just can't find it within myself to be able to do that. Jesus, I need your life, I need your rule, and I need your leadership." Coming to Jesus like a little child. Do you see that? Do you understand that? And is that true of you? You know, it's true of my life, that my life, I can often feel weary, I can feel anxious, I can be full of doubt, I can be, you know, stressed out of my mind. And sometimes, you know, it's useful to renegotiate your schedule and look at your calendar. Sometimes it's good to change jobs or go on a holiday or have a weekend away. Those things work, don't they? But I'm convinced that the main source of weariness and tiredness and the burden that we actually experience is because we don't know, we're not loving, and we're not following Jesus to the greatest degree that we need to be. So this morning, will you actually throw your yoke off? Will you actually contemplate and think, well, what is it and who is it that I'm really living for? And will you actually recommit your life to being yoked to Jesus? You know, when Jesus says, "Be yoked to me," he is saying that there is actually a burden to being a Christian. There is actually restraint. The idea that we are yoked and that he actually guides us and directs us and shapes us. There is that. But look at what Jesus says about himself. Jesus says, I am gentle and humble. I am loving and forgiving and patient. He says, you can trust me. You can trust me with your life. Jesus says, listen to me and take my yoke upon you. We're just going to kind of summarize or bring all of that together now. Most of you should have actually received one of these cards on the way in. If you didn't receive one of these cards, just put your hand up and Brendo or Lara will actually. So if you haven't got a postcard, just put your hand up. We're just going to have a time of kind of reflection, of thinking about, well, how do I actually sit before God in terms of where we believe that God is actually leading us as a church? We've talked about a whole bunch of things over the last few weeks. We've talked about a new imagination, thinking what does it mean to actually have our life both individually and corporately around our vision statement of seeing lives transformed through Christ-centered community, of having Jesus right at the heart of our lives. The idea of a new gathering, the idea that we're just going to start up these new church services, and which one are you going to be involved in, and thinking about how you can use your gifts in terms of serving other people in that ministry. One of the reasons for this Move by God series is that we just felt that in the sense we were just a little bit passive, we were a little bit asleep, and that we needed to be woken up. The idea that you have a spiritual gift and I have a spiritual gift and you need me and I need you to be able to serve one another as the body of Christ. The idea of a new mission that might be simply, you know, praying for a friend at work that who at the moment is not yet a Christian. It might be inviting your neighbor over for a meal. It might be running a dads and kids camp at your local primary school. It could be any one of a number of creative things. A new sense of generosity, that we can be generous with our emotion and our time and our relationships and with our houses and hospitality. And we can also be generous with our finances. And finally, like this idea of a new sense of commitment, that I'm going to be committed to Jesus. And if you belong to this church, to this local body of Christ, so that he can use me to love and build up other Christians, and so that we together could become a greater witness and have a greater impact in our neighborhood and in the northern suburbs of Sydney. So if you turn the card over, four commitments that I'm asking you to make. Don't do this without Jesus. This will kill you without Jesus. But if you love Jesus, we believe that these commitments are possible and that pretty much all of us can make them. The idea of committing to one service, we realize that might take you 6 months to kind of work out, that you might try the 9:30, you might try the 4:30, you might float between them for a while you're settling things out. By the way, we still need a bunch of families to actually commit to the 9:30 service, because we want the 9:30 service to be a really healthy intergenerational service. We've already got a bunch of families who have signed up for the 4:30, and that's looking really, really super exciting, so that's great. One life group. You might feel like there's no sense of community in this church, that you don't have friends in this church, there's nobody journeying with you. We believe that life groups are the best place to actually do that. A life group can be two or three blokes on a train once a week traveling to work together, reading the Bible and praying for one another. A life group can be 15 people meeting on a Tuesday night. We're super flexible in all of that. But if you're not in a life group, please perhaps see Brendan. The idea of one ministry. This is more than just being on a roster. You know, follow Jesus and be on a roster. That's inspiring, isn't it? Here's the idea that you have a passion, that God's actually created you in a unique way, that you at least have one or two spiritual gifts that God has used you to build up this body and help it to be a witness in our community. Again, we need you to actually develop that spiritual gifting. And the idea, this is the pointy end of this whole movement. I guess we're just trying to reorientate ourselves as a church and refocus ourselves as a church so that we can have a greater impact in our neighborhood. My deep-seated feeling is that for a church for our size, if we're serious about mission, we just should be seeing more and more people coming to know Jesus and placing their faith in him. So what I want you to do, we're going to give you a couple of minutes now, is just thinking for yourself, well, what is the next step for me? What's the next step that God wants me to make in this being moved by God? Maybe it's jumping into a life group. Maybe it's actually coming and talking to us about a ministry. Maybe you've got a missional idea, something we could do in the neighborhood. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's an attitude thing. You know, maybe God has been speaking to you this morning and your relationship with Jesus is not where it needs to be. That he's not your true north. And maybe that's the next step that you need to make, just to rekindle your love and your passion for him. So we're going to give you a couple of minutes. If you need a pen, just put up your hand. We've got pens. It's just a time of reflection between you and God. Guys, like I do have this sense of, you know, that God is leading us as a community of faith. And if God is leading us, then that's got to be good, right? So we just got to look to our future with a great sense of anticipation and excitement. I'm fully up for it. Like it's got to be a great hill to climb. Those cards, nobody else is going to see them. So that's between you and God. But I just pray that as a community of faith, we'll just be moved by God together to see our lives transformed and to make a great impact where we live. Yeah? Yeah. We are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great goodness towards us. And I do pray that as we continue down this journey together of being moved by you into a new chapter of ministry, I pray that Jesus and your gospel and grace may just continue to be right at the center of this church and our lives. I pray that our love for him may be strengthened and deepened and our amazement of him renewed daily. I pray that as a community of faith, we can just pull together and learn what it means to serve one another, to uphold one another, to live life with one another. And we do pray that through all of this, that we might see friends and neighbours and family come to know you and place their faith in you. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.